We have begun a series on Proverbs. Today we've reached Proverbs chapter 2. And let's read together verse 1 to 5. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And our subject today is a whole Christ for a whole heart. A whole Christ for the whole heart. So the chapter opens, this chapter opens with a list of things that we must do. And we have briefly looked at them already, but let's focus on a different aspect of them. The words are receive. If you receive, if you hide, if you incline, if you apply, if you cry, if you lift up, if you seek my words. So this is what we are encouraged to do. All these verbs, all these things are things that we are encouraged to do. It may seem very simple, but indeed it is simple, but there is more to just hearing with the ear. There is more to just saying, oh, I know that. Yes, I get that. I know that. I've learned that. I even know the Bible verse that speaks about it. Well, the terms, all these terms are full of instruction. Each one of them could be a full message. But also, they are not just suggestions. They are God's commands. They are not an option. They are not if you feel like it. Well, I don't really like that. I think I will. It's a bit old-fashioned to me. I'll just push that aside. I don't need that in my life. No, we can never treat God's word in that manner, in that way. God's word is a command. And God's word is to be obeyed, it is to be valued, it is to be treasured. And God says it with great kindness to us. But don't be mistaken, even although it's with kindness that he speaks, it is still a command. God's not pleading with us and begging us. He won't change a single dot, a single a letter of his word. His word is settled forever in heaven. And we have to understand that we change, not God's word. And we may not understand or keep it or value it, but as we begin to seek it with our whole hearts, understanding comes. Understanding and wisdom comes. God's word will impart wisdom and skill and blessing for everyday life. I said it a couple of weeks ago, but a lot of people have got knowledge, but they lack wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to apply that which we know. I once knew someone who had a high degree in university, but he had absolutely no wisdom to apply what he had learned. Wisdom helps us put knowledge into practical life. So God's word imparts wisdom, and it also imparts knowledge, and he will give us understanding mostly to know him, to grasp his goodness, to understand his truth. He gives us skill to pray, ability to pray. He gives us, he creates within us the will to do. You know, the flesh doesn't want to do, but the Spirit of God, when we read the Word of God, it stirs something in our hearts and we have a desire. I want to obey that. I want to do that. I want to please my Father. It's love that's working in our hearts. So let's look at this, just this. We're not going to look at them all, but a couple of them hide. This word hide, it has a very, very deep and profound meaning. It simply means to treasure up in your heart. Treasure up in the treasure house. Your heart is a treasure house containing that which is more valuable than rubies, than diamonds, than silver or gold. It's God's word. And in the same way, our hearts, the wisdom of God, just as we would treasure precious jewels, we should treasure the word of God in that same fashion. And we hide it in our treasure house, which is our heart. And when we most need it, it will be present. The living word of Christ, the words of grace, salvation and peace and pardon and righteousness and life. No man can give those things. This is not just ordinary words we are hiding in our heart. This is the word of God. The word of God is living and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's treasure. And we hide it in our hearts that we may not sin against him, that he'll show us the way, bring comfort to our heart. Oh, the word is endless in what it will do. I once saw it as a picture of a diamond. And if you look at a diamond, it may give off a ray of light that's blue or reddish or pink or green. And the more you look at that diamond, the more variation you will see. You will just see you will think you've seen everything, but suddenly you'll see a new ray of light, a new color, a new intensity, a new brightness. And it's the same with the Word of God. The more we look at it, the more we will see, the more we will grasp. Now, no man can impart to us these things which the Word promises. They are the words of God. And the best scripture that we can use is in Acts 17 and verse 11. It's speaking about the Bereans, these Bereans who received the word of God with all readiness of mind and willingness. So they had a readiness and a willingness, and they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether the things were so. The scripture was their yardstick. I'm told that many years ago in the country of Scotland, in England, nobody would sit in the congregation without their Bible open. Their Bibles were open. They searched the scriptures to see if what the preacher was preaching was in the Word of God. I think that's a very good practice. I think if we did that today, how much we would be much better off indeed. So this is we see that God's Word is something, when we treat it like the Bereans, we see this is something worthwhile. This is something that I must treasure. I'm going to put it in the treasure house. I'm going to commit it to memory. I'm going to often think about this. I'm going to meditate on it. Now, it's good to memorize scripture, but do you know that you can memorize scripture and have absolutely no idea what it means or what it says? So we must memorize it, but we must also think about it. And most importantly, when you read your Bibles, pray before you read. Oh Lord, grant me understanding. Holy Spirit, let me see the truths. Let me understand them. Let me observe them. And let's David, King David, he said, therefore, all your precepts, O Lord, all your ways, O Lord, I consider them to be right. I value them. They're treasure to me. I love them. Psalm 119, 128. So when we treat God's word and we receive God's word as treasure, it will have a great effect on our life. In other words, we apply our heart to understanding. It's not just enough to listen and never do. Our hearts must be engaged when we hear the word. There must be an engaging of the heart. We must seek the true and spiritual and practical understanding and application of the gospel truths. Some people sit under God's word, appearing to listen, appearing to be attentive, and yet still love the ways of their old life, love the ways of what they used to do, and they love those old ways even more than they love the ways of Christ. And something's wrong. But because when there's a true hearing, that hearing longs to put off the old ways and longs to walk in truth and righteousness and uprightness. Just this week, I heard a story, and I think I mentioned it at the Bible study this week, but it's worth repeating. There was a man in hospital, very sick. He was dying, and there was no real hope for him, and he was very open. He wanted ministers to come and pray with him and talk with him. And these ministers, three of them, they came together, and because he was so sick, they were very gentle, very kind to him. They presented the gospel to him, and he said, yes, yes, yes. But the ministers weren't satisfied. When they talked amongst each other, they said, you know, he says yes, yes, but I don't think he has understood. He hasn't got it. He's just saying it to please us. That's all. And so they agreed, and they said, we need to try and present it to him again. Well, I need to mention that this man did go to heaven. He was saved, gloriously saved. But look how it happened. One of the ministers stood at the bottom of the bed, faithful man, and he boldly said, friend, you are a deceived man. They were thunderstruck. The wife couldn't believe it. How can they talk to my sick husband like that? And they said, you are dying and you have absolutely no hope of a future. He said, you always say yes, yes to what we tell you, but you don't understand. And you think, we know that you are without God. We know you are without hope. And when you die, you'll be lost forever. Well, even the other ministers, they thought this is too much. Afterwards, when they'd finished talking to him, the other ministers took him aside and they said, now listen, that was too harsh. How could you talk to that man like that? But listen what happened. The next morning, they went to visit him. His heart had changed. He said, I've seen the truth. He said, I realize you were telling me the truth. Oh, I'd heard only with the hearing of the ear, but now my heart has understood. I'm a sinner in need of forgiveness. Pray with me that my sins may be forgiven. And he found the Lord, and he was gloriously born again. You see, it's more than hearing just with the ear. You have to hear with the heart, and you have to apply your heart to what you hear. You have to ask yourself a question, a searching question. What kind of position am I in? Do I hear with the ear only and not my heart? Some would say, I don't know why people make so much talking about God. Why do they talk about God, God, God all the time? And they don't really understand. Well, it's simple. Shall I tell you why they talk about God all the time? Because they have understood. Because they have got understanding, their hearts and their minds are consumed with God, because they've seen the beauty of God, the greatness of God, the mightiness of God. Oh, the goodness and the mercies. They can't keep quiet. They must talk about Him. You see, we have to ask ourselves, have we really desired to know? Have we sought Him, as Proverbs says, with our whole hearts? Have we applied our hearts? Have we prayed and asked the Lord, show me truth, grant that I may see? You see, if you want earthly wisdom, it's actually relatively easy. Well, it's not easy, but there's a way to get earthly wisdom, and it is gained by opening books. It's gained by studying. And if you study much, you may be able to get some earthly wisdom and earthly knowledge. But heavenly wisdom is gained by prayer. It's gained by coming to the Father. It's gained by studying the Scripture, by not by listening to what man says, but listening to what God says. It's His word that makes us wise. It's His word that makes us spiritual Christians. We know in Psalm 119 and verse 130, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Oh, His word gives understanding even to the professors, not only the simple. All men are simple in the sight of God. But God keeps a key of this treasure house. And we have to inquire of Him to open our understanding. And we look at one of the scriptures in Ezekiel 36, verse 37. Thus says the Lord God, I will also let the house of Israel inquire of me to do this. So we inquire of the Lord. Lord, do this. Open my understanding. Minister to me. Another scripture is Psalm 10 and verse 17. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause the ear to hear. Lord, my ear is so hard of hearing. Cause my ear to hear the truth. This is incline my ear to wisdom, O Lord. This presents a picture of, in the original language, a picture of respect for what we are hearing. Now, I know some of you may have a dog at home, and your dog knows who is master. And if you call the dog, do you know what happens? The ears prick up. And the dog's attentive, and it's listening, and it's alert, ready. What's it calling me for? It shuts out all the other voices around it. It's listening to the one voice of its master. And there may be very many other distractions around, but that dog is attentive to the master. And in the same way, we must shut out the clamor around us, and we must focus on God, on God's word. Satan is a master of getting us to try and incline our ears to things that have no spiritual value, things that lead nowhere, things that are time wasters, things that rob us and empty us of truth, things that make us forget about eternal concerns. And we have to ask ourselves, what is my ear inclined to do? What is my main interest? Do I only focus on spiritual things once a week on Sunday? I come to church, I listen to a few Bible verses, and the rest of the week I'm just busy with my own interests, the things that I'm really interested in. That's not the way to be a strong Christian. That's not the way to have understanding and wisdom and blessing on your life. And we, as God's people, every day, we must draw near, still our hearts, quieten our hearts, and draw near and incline our ear. You see, when you're alone with God, if you spend time alone with God every day, alone with your Bible and opening the Word, oh, that Word, God's holy Word, will etch and burn something into your heart. His image will be stamped upon you. And when you go out to conduct your business, people will marvel and they will take note that you have been with Jesus Christ. They will see a difference in you. There'll be a brightness about you. There'll be a peace about you. The glory of God will be upon you. And this is something that we must do daily. Incline our ear to the Lord. Shut out the distracting voices that are all around us. We must be diligent to seek the Lord. Diligence simply means constant effort. Constant effort. But some are not diligent to seek the Lord. They are not. Proverbs 2 and verse 4. If you seek her as silver and search her, search for her as hidden treasures. The word seek here has the meaning effort applied. It's like digging for treasure. It takes effort. Effort. And why would people not seek? Why would people not bother to seek? Well, mostly because they see no need to seek. They're satisfied with what they've got. They're satisfied with the way things are. They are satisfied with, they don't desire to find anything more. Well, we never truly seek with all our hearts until we realize there's something that's missing in my life. There's something that I don't possess, something which is not mine. I begin seeking when I understand I'm in need of forgiveness. I'm in need of washing and cleansing. My life is so many mistakes, so many things which I'm ashamed of. I seek you, O Lord. I realize I need cleansing. I realize that I'm faulty. I realize, Lord, there's so much wrong in my life. Forgive me, wash me, cleanse me. So this verse is mainly, we could say, speaking of salvation, wisdom, divine knowledge about being introduced to newness of life. Newness of life, being born again. Behold, all things will become new. Old things will pass away. And until we realize that this new life is available, we won't really seek. And if we don't seek, we shall not find. Verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. From his mouth, for us to receive wisdom and knowledge and understanding, which brings conversion, which brings salvation, there's only one way. One way only, and that's by God granting wisdom and understanding of his word. Not being critical of the word, not questioning the word. We cannot try to invent some man-made theory. Well, if I do good works, God will accept me. If I attend church, God will accept me. We just seek the truth. We seek the script in the scriptures, the answer. You know, a man that's mining, that's digging for gold, he doesn't make the gold. He just finds the gold. He discovers the gold. And he's so glad. Well, we don't find and make salvation. We just discover it. God reveals it to us. And it's nothing of ourselves, nothing that we can do at all. The Lord gives wisdom and salvation, which is wonderful, which is beyond comparison with anything that this world can offer. Nothing that this world offers can even match it. So out of his mouth, out of God's mouth, comes knowledge and understanding. And Christ declares the Father's mind. And he makes clear the doctrines of grace and truth. And he reveals the whole counsel of salvation. And God speaks through the scriptures. God speaks through his holy word. They are his inspired words coming from his own mouth. But he also uses gospel ministers who speak in his name and bring a word to the people. So the light of understanding and wisdom begins with salvation. But there's much more. There's a great wealth. There's a great store of understanding for the children of God. It's a great blessing to know his plans and his purposes for our life. You and I, who have come to salvation, we are no longer servants. We are called friends. He calls us friends. And Jesus Christ reveals to us all things that the Father, that he has heard of the Father. He makes them known to us. So we can never exhaust all things of the Father. So salvation is just the beginning. There's such a depth. There's so much for God to show us. There's such a richness. We will never, I believe, even in eternity, as wonderful being in the glory, we will never exhaust it. We will never plumb the depths of the love of God. When we think, now we understand, we'll see more. There's more. There's a greater depth, a greater height. The mercies are even more. And this is how wonderful God is. If we can't exhaust him in heaven, we'll never exhaust him on earth. And he chose and he ordained us. He ordained us that we may bear fruit for him. What a privilege to bear fruit for him. What a privilege that our fruit should remain forever. And one day we'll see our fruit in eternity. Well, verse 7, as we start drawing towards the close, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. And these treasures are sound wisdom. They are stored up for a category of people, for the righteous, for the righteous. And it says that to walk in godliness, he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. So when we have got the understanding that God demands uprightness, he will protect us. It's wisdom that we can draw upon every day of our lives, every hour even. Guidance to walk uprightly, guidance to walk rightly and make the right decisions, to have the right. You know, the purpose and the goal of my Christianity is righteousness, to be holy and separated unto him. Am I living that way? Is my life pleasing to the Father? Do people speak of me and say, he walks uprightly, she walks uprightly? This is the goal of Christianity. And when we make that our goal, he is a buckler. And that is simply a small shield to protect us. To protect us. It's like a garden that has a wall around it to keep out the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's wisdom protects us from subtle reasoning, guards our hearts from deception. It covers us and protects us from persuasive arguments that would try to draw us aside from what we know and believe. He guides our feet into every good path. This is what wisdom will do for us. Guide our feet into every good path. And he will make us, let me give you the verse, 2 Timothy 3, verse 15 to 17. He makes the man of God perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. Perfectly furnished, equipped, fully equipped. He equips us. Wisdom equips us. So this gracious wisdom that saves our soul also sanctifies the heart and gives us a life for every area. We've just had a taste, a little taste of some of the things that wisdom will bring to us. We don't have time to cover everything, but notice where wisdom is found. It is found in the heart. It when it's in the heart, only then does it have true power and light to affect our lives. If it's just knowledge in the head alone, it may glitter, it may sparkle, it may shine brightly, it may even seem impressive, but even clear knowledge in our head isn't enough. It's barren, it's without power. It's only when God's truth enters our hearts and gives light and stirs our affections and our affections to keep God's ways. A desire, I want to obey. I want to walk in truth. Oh, I want to please the Father. This is what it does when wisdom enters the heart. It creates that desire to do that. Christianity in the head is lifeless. It's just head knowledge. But Christianity in the heart, oh, it's so powerful. Until our hearts have been filled and melted, it will have no practical influence in our lives. Our delight will still be in other things. Our delight will still be in our old life. But when our whole heart is surrendered to the Lord, when our whole heart is given to the Lord, our delight becomes the law of the Lord. Let me read you from Psalm 1. We know Psalm 1, very, very well known. Who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be a tree planted by rivers of water. Psalm 1, 1 to 3. So what we need to see here is that we are preserved from standing in the way of sinners. But notice that if we do stand in the way of sinners, it won't be long before we are sitting in the seat of the scornful. There's a rapid progression, a rapid slide downhill. And because we want to please the Lord, we want to be preserved from going from bad to worse. We want to open our Bibles and we want to see the glorious promises in God's Word. And we want to carry these promises with us all day. And when we are tempted to stand or sit in the seat of the scornful, that promise will keep us. We'll say, no, I'm not going to do that. The Lord is my Lord. I want to please him. I want to walk with him. And we think about it all day, and it becomes the song of our heart. It becomes the cry of our soul, his word, his promises. Oh, friends, daily incline your ear to him. Daily have a prayer on your lips that's inspired by scripture. The word of God, to have effect in our life, must become the believer's true daily bread. Is God's word, you know, you won't go a day without eating. Well, you may do, but you don't like to. And we should be in that position that we don't like to go a single day without partaking of the bread of heaven. I must begin to draw to a close. Shouldn't we awaken this desire in our heart? Shouldn't we ask the Lord to put this true desire in our hearts? We should pray and ask for wisdom. We should pray and ask that we would really enjoy God's holy word, that his face would be the source of our pleasure, that his word would be the source, that we'd have a spiritual craving for eternal things more than for earthly things, that the gospel wouldn't only be something that troubles our conscience, but that it would be the power of God unto salvation. Grace, only this kind of deep, deep grace, and nothing else will preserve us from the snares of the enemy. So we accept a whole Christ with a whole heart. A whole Christ with a whole heart. And this is from a little book that I was looking at by one of the Puritans, and he provided a profound illustration, and he said the giving of the heart to God, accepting a whole Christ with a whole heart. He warned that while many are willing to accept a saving Christ to escape hell, they don't want a Christ that will reign and rule in their hearts. They want a saving Christ, but not a reigning and a ruling Christ. They don't want Christ to rule and reign in their hearts. They want the cleansing blood of Jesus, but they don't want his ruling scepter. But to be a true believer, we must receive all the offices of Christ. And let me give them to you quickly. He's the prophet. He's the priest. He's the king. And we receive all of this. So the priest, he redeems us. The prophet, he teaches us. Many people want to be forgiven, but they don't want to be instructed. We receive him as prophet, as teacher, as king. He sanctifies us. He rules us. He changes us. Without any one of these offices, our salvation isn't really complete. It's only a fraction of what we should have. We need him in all his offices if we're going to be complete. I draw to a close. Has your heart been made willing to follow him completely? The heart is like a house with many rooms. Many rooms. Some gladly let Christ into the room of comfort. They gladly let him into the room of forgiveness. But they keep the room of obedience tightly locked. Tightly locked. But Christ will not be received as a guest only. Christ is king. We surrender the whole house to him. We give him all the rooms of our heart. And true faith opens a whole life to the Lord and says, Lord, rule my life from beginning to end. And the scripture says, give yourself a living sacrifice, fully pleasing unto him. This is your reasonable service. This is your reasonable service. Friend, let us surrender our hearts to him this morning. Let us ask for cleansing. Let us ask for forgiveness. Let our hearts be engraved and inscripted and stamped with his image. Let us be those that hear his word. Let our hearts no longer be under the influence of the world and Satan. Jesus says, give me your heart. Let our answer be, here is my heart, Lord. I surrender it fully unto you. Amen.